And we'll have open lines next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Plus, I'm going to show you something. If you want to get up to coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the feature story. That'll give you a highlight of some of the things we're going to chat about. And also, we'll be back in a moment as we talk about these nature spirits, these mystical beings, these magical spirits, these magical powers and mystical beings, the work of Dr. Christian von Leer and Christopher Valentine. Back with them in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Christopher, we touched a little bit on it, but specifically, what do these nature spirits do?
Yes, well, the nature spirits bring water to plants. They clean negativity off of us. They bring balance and harmony to your life, your home and garden. They take care of your animals. In the new book, we have the first interview ever with pixies, and pixies are the ones that give us our moments of insight or inspiration. They can appear to be flashes of light to the human eye as well as sparkles of light. They are the ones that give us sparkles of ideas or inspiration. They are virtually perpetual effervescent children their entire life, appearing young and acting young at heart. They come and help people that are wishing for change in their life. They are all about, our Pixie Pentacle says, magical moments, sparks of inspiration, quick changes in creativity. They can appear as dots of color when you see many of them, and it means it's time for a change.
And we talk about magical powers. That's the headline of your book, Magical Powers and Mystical Beings. What do we mean by magical powers here?
Well, the nature spirits use the forces that are indigenous and natural in this universe, George. And humans, and that's you and I again, may think that there are many forces like magnetism, electricity, and such, but those are all variations of one force. The nature spirits actually are attuned to all seven of the great forces, so it's something we have to eventually evolve to being aware of. See, they evolve in a different direction. It's a process called involution, circularly the opposite way that we do, so they experience life differently. Being connected with those different forces, they can make things happen that to us seem magical or mystical, but to them, it's what they refer to as being natural. Now, you know, the way that theosophy and philosophy and Eastern wisdom would speak of the universe is to simply call it nature, because the universe itself would be the sum total of all things that have gone on consciously in the universe. So they're actually attuned to that. Now, each nature spirit has a different resonance or different connection, and this gives them their different abilities. Like a lot of people are drawn to the leprechauns. They certainly get a lot of play, probably because of the Western connection, because they're in Europe. But, of course, they existed as the djinn, D-J-I-N-N, or J-I-N-N, in the Arabic countries, and under many different names. And, of course, the Scandinavia, they would be big under something like Nisa or Nisan, I think they would be called.
Were they the same as genies?
Absolutely. Jinn and genie come from the same source. Now, they are one of the most unusual nature spirits because they do one thing that's quite different than the others, which makes them more magical. Remember I said nature spirits are right here with us in this physical plane, and humans resonate with states of energy called earth, air, water, fire. Really not literally the element of those, it's the state of that energy, solid, liquid, that type of thing. But the upper three that also belongs here, the nature spirits use and exist in. With the exception of leprechauns, they can also go up a little ways into that other side that we speak of. Now, this allows them to experience and express life at 14 dimensions where we only have three dimensions here. So because of that, things pop in, and they can pop out. They can make things go away. How many people have lost the remotes or lost their keychains and they know exactly where they put them? That is an absolute sure sign that you have leprechauns if you have a habit and suddenly it goes missing anyway. And this is actually called glamour when they do that. And I actually tested them once, George. I have a lot of old books, hundreds of years old, and I put everything where it's supposed to be. And one of my books was missing. So I kept saying, no, I know it has to be there, it has to be there. I'm insisting that that book be there, it has to be there. And I persisted and persisted and persisted, and then it came back into view. And so because they gave up it, the process of hiding it. And what they did is use this technique of glamour to make it seem like it actually isn't there. but technically it was, and that's where the term glamour comes from. And they're using something that this matter that exists up in the astral plane to do that. This is also, though, why they can be here and suddenly be somewhere else, because we don't have the limitations of space and time over or up in the astral plane that we do here in the physical. So it allows them to move around a lot. Now, on that other side, of course, that's where all psychic ability comes from. They're simply the senses that we use in the astral plane. So they get to take advantage of those. But probably the number one force that they use is this thing that we call time. And they can manipulate that, and they think that all things are sort of strung together with that. Time to them, and esoterically too, is basically stringing together like elements of matter. And you know how a tile, if you're tiling a kitchen, you'd lay out the tiles and you'd allow grout in between them?
Right.
Okay. So imagine that space and matter are the little white tiles, and what's in between them, that grouting, is time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they manipulate what's called faux hawk, is an esoteric term, which allows them to manipulate this time as well. Now, the other thing they do is sense their proclivity is to work with the vibrational state of things, and they actually tend to see everything that we have physically here from their perspective as well, not just ours. So, for example, if they were looking at you, they would tend to see this etheric counterpart of you, not just nor primarily the physical you.
Do they ever end their existence?
They do, but because they're etheric, and etheric means they're of a matter a little lighter than us. It isn't ether like science defines it, which is a gas. It's simply the upper three states of energy, so we call that etheric, like with the AE
right.
letter that the Greeks use. Okay,
right.
And so because of that, when you go up in density, you actually live longer, much longer. In fact, you know, in the Bible, Methuselah and all those characters in the first part of the Bible, they were living 600 and 700 years old, right?
Yes.
That's because they weren't the class of life that we are, which is the Indo-class. They were Atlanteans. And Atlanteans were etheric, or more etheric at least than certainly we are, which allowed them to live longer. And so nature spirits are even more etheric. So leprechauns, they say, or they tell us, can live into several thousands of years of age, and gnomes can easily live to be 1,000 years old, a little bit older. Now, this is why they try to make themselves known to us, because it stands to reason that these gnomes, and we all have two, as Christopher mentioned, have probably seen us before, and that's why they're so happy to experience us again when we reach that point of awareness of recognizing them.
Because a lot of times in our past lives, we did see them. In fact, in the Middle Ages, that was a time in evolution with people and nature spirits. We were kind of close to each other. And that's where a lot of our folklore comes from the medieval times, when we were seeing gnomes around us.
Yeah, you have to accept the philosophy that the consciousness that we have, George, is evolving. It's moving, right? And imagine like you're climbing up
yeah.
a spring, okay? So we're constantly, and there's no beginning, there's no end. We just see frames of seven wines at a time. And so we're working our way up those wines, seven, this round of the universe, so to speak. And so around medieval times, one of our wines, so to speak, was counterpart to theirs, because they're evolving only in the counter direction. And so there are going to be points in time. If we're going around a circle to the right, they're going around a circle to the left. There will be points in time when we're side by side. And that happened last during the Middle Ages, which is why all the folklore comes from there. So we could see them more easily. They could see us more easily because our energy states were more consistent. Now, this is going to happen again, guess when? 2012.
Interesting. Now, do they ever lose it, though, because of some of the things that happen on this planet, you know, the wars and things like that? Do they ever show emotion?
You know, well, George, you know, I just asked one of our gnome elders this somewhat similar question 2 days ago, and I said, it seems like, you know, we can't trust anybody in our governments anymore, and I said, well, how would this grand elder handle it? Because they live their lives in a communal type way, and the way they work is egoless, and they all kind of work together, and they follow a line of thinking, but the gnome said that when they like communicate with each other, they can't really lie. They can't really tell something that's untrue. I mean, they look into each other's eyes and they can see the truth. And so they said that we will progress to that state one day when we will know when others aren't speaking the truth, and we'll be able to tell a lot more about our leaders, and our world will change. But for the most part, they don't really judge humans too much. They really are all about bringing out the inner child in us. They do mystifying things, though, like Kristen was kind of touching on, where we get this so much, where you have your car keys and you know you left them in a specific spot and you just can't seem to find them, and then a few hours later or a day later, they appear exactly where you knew you left them. That's an example of the leprechauns trying to get your attention.
They take the keys?
Your keys are over here, George, right now.
Well, you know, they probably didn't take your keys. With Christian was talking about glamour earlier, they probably were there all along. You just didn't see them. But if you stared in that spot long enough, they would probably appear. But the leprechauns would like nothing more than to become part of a nice family. And so they're demonstrating their desire to join your family by hiding and putting back personal items. Because what they really want you to say is, who's doing this? And once you sense this disappearing and reappearing act, say out loud in your head, leprechauns, you are welcome to join the family. And when you do that, the objects will stop disappearing, and you will have the magic of the leprechauns with you.
Yeah, so let's answer that question just a little bit different way. Do they feel disturbed by what's going on in the world, that type of thing? Now, again, they haven't evolved to the state of human, so they don't have an ego, so they won't think the same way we do, and they won't have the emotion that we have, the deep hate and the convictions and that we have. But what they do have going for them is they are experts and masters of knowing what everything is supposed to be. They're masters of harmony. When we came into existence, we were great people the moment we were born, all of us, everybody. And so their focus is always on that original blueprint. The blueprint is if you're building a bike at Christmas time. And that's pretty much what they see. They don't work quite the way we do. So they always are working towards bringing things back into harmony. This is why when people say the gnomes helped me fix their computer, they really did. The computer suddenly starts working. They didn't go to ITT Institute, George, or Phoenix University, but they know what the original blueprint, so to speak, of things is, because it's intrinsic in everything about us, every atom that we have. And so they get things, they restore things back to that state. So the way they'll deal with that subject of the imbalance and the hatred and the oppression that they see in the world is they will work probably on an individual level, almost as if they were ants, trying to influence us in any small way that they can to act differently or bring about some sort of change that leads to this improvement. Because if you make one little change, chances are it affects something else. It's like an endless chain of dominoes. And so they work at that level, and that's exactly how they work in nature when they bring colors to the plants and scents to the different flowers, and they induce little variations. They're basically keeping their eyes and sight and senses on the plan. Let me explain that plan for a second.
And, Christian, do they believe in a higher power?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, they actually have a connection with archangels that may even exceed ours. Remember, the archangel or Elohim or Diane Cohen, depending on what your religion would be, those higher forms of consciousness, which are builders also, they are the ones that actually built this universe, the seven levels of existence. That's who God would be speaking to in the Bible, in Genesis, for example. So they experience that because they experience those beings at a little bit different level than we do, but they still experience them. And this is because anything that exists in all seven planes. So this is why I said, even though you seem physical to you and to me and everyone around us, you are also etheric, and you also have an astral body of you, which is what you use to go to the other side at night when you dream. You have a body that you use in heaven. You exist in all seven planes. So this means for every atom of you, there are seven layers to that atom. And so, given that that's true, nature spirits will experience divinity, archangels, all of these things, simply by relating to the etheric counterpart of anything. So they also revere certain archangels, and we speak about it in the book, because they get a wisdom from them Now, we do also, but, you know, our mind gets in the way, right? The most active thing about us, George, is our minds, because that's what this inner class of life is. We think. We're the thinkers. But they don't think to the degree that we do. They don't try to recreate everything from scratch every generation. They just keep adding to the wisdom. So they perceive more easily what that message is, or those seven rays to divinity, so to speak, are, that are coming from these archangels, for example. And that also allows them to pick up on consciousnesses of planets, because technically anything living is a consciousness, or anything existing is consciousness at some level. And so those big bodies of planets, they will consider to be a consciousness, and they feel the forces and influence of those and the sun, as well as saints that have passed over, the archangels that you mentioned, pretty much anything.
Do they eat? Do they sleep?
Yes, they do eat, and they don't eat necessarily physical food that we do. What they do, George, is take the etheric counterpart of that food or drink that you can put out for them, thoroughly take in the nutrition and the taste. Rarely will you see the physical counterpart gone the next day. They do eat.
But you can see it on occasion, or especially if you're practiced with using etheric vision or a psychic, then you'll see that it can go. And even if you're not, you can occasionally see that it actually disappears. But they don't necessarily need to make it disappear. Remember, I said that everything has a counterpart. So anything you see physically exists in their world etherically. They will see the etheric part just like you tend to just see the physical.
And as well, the gnomes are progressing or evolving to becoming somewhat like we are. They're becoming more dense as we are going to spirit and becoming lighter. And so in the very early years of their evolution, they didn't need to sleep. But now the leprechauns have told us that the gnomes do sleep at night, and that's because they are becoming denser and they're experiencing more of the stresses of this world.
The general nature of anything, George, in this universe, both the physical one and the overall total manifested universe, suggests that it decays. This is why we have birth and death. So even the universe itself will reach some point of needing rest.
Sure.
Again, this is what the Bible speaks of on the seventh day. God rested, and that's speaking to evolution. Everything has to reach a point of rest. So they will rest also, just not within the same cycles that we do. We are so dense. We are so weighted down, although it seems normal to us. We have to rest every night. Technically, and this is surprising, although they don't need to, they will actually sleep many times during the day because they feel better. If they could be walking along, going through the cave, looking for diamonds, pulling up carrots, whatever, and just say, I think I'm just going to stop and sleep. Wouldn't we all love to do that?
Yeah, they usually have two breakfasts, which they really enjoy. They usually have two naps a day. Time is a little different for the nature spirits in their realm. So a typical day to us would be like 2 days to them. They can move a little bit faster in their world as well because of that.
Now, remember, when we're eating, you're thinking of eating from a human's perspective and
sure.
all the things that food...
And the physical
carrot,
perspective.
Yeah, and that carrot would mean. But if a nature person ate that carrot, there's probably certain chemicals in there or forces of energy that's behind those chemicals that they want. For example, when you were mentioning leprechauns, George, we've always associate them with us with taverns and getting inebriated and things of that nature, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
and wishes.
Let's take the inebriation first. They actually do like spirits, like alcohol, but it isn't the alcohol that they like or the inebriation that they like. There are properties in the hops and things that go into making that that they actually consume to make themselves feel better and function better magically. So, and even though they may seem tipsy and happy and whatever, they don't have the same effect as we would if we were inebriated.
Let's stay with us. We're going to take phone calls with both of you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to have open lines next hour, but when we come back, we'll take phone calls of your mystical stories on Coast to Coast AM. Back with Christopher Valentine and Dr. Christian Von Lehr and your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Christopher, tell me a little bit about your television show.
Well, my television show is premiering the same date, February 15th of this year, and it's really a home and gardening type show. But what's different is we bring in a little something extra, which is the nature spirits. So we talk about how they influence us, how they can help with our garden. We do crafts, we do recipes, so we make it interactive and teach people how to do things as well.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's go to Chris in Florida. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Chris.
Hi, George. I was just trying to send you pictures of spilts, and I wanted to ask if they've heard of these sky spirits or sylphs that I encountered this past November. I learned of when I was energizing my loving Kundalini to remove the chemtrails from the skies. And I come to see these sky spirits, and then the web are called sylphs, actually consuming them. You can see they're very symmetrical, and the chemtrails will bunch up before they enter the mouths of these sylphs, and they'll dissolve the chemtrails very quickly. That they wanted their picture taken and that they do serve our creator. They love green and they love life. Just wanted to ask your guests if they've heard of them.
All right. Have you two heard of sky spirits?
Yes, we have. We talk about that in the new book. Sylphs are a type of air nature spirit. But what's interesting is they're also part of the djinn class that we're talking about tonight that the leprechauns and blue fairies belong to.
The leprechauns are a higher form of the sylphs, but the sylph itself is a very, very large class, and we tend to think of them as air spirits. But because they're higher in this hierarchy of consciousness, they have more powers and more mysticism and can do more things. Now, what they have told us, because you mentioned something about this cycle encircling, is that the nature spirits tend to revere this whole cycling or swirling process. In fact, that's where the concept of dragons came about, dragons being the first mystical being recognized by the nature spirits. And initially, before the earth itself took formation, you have all these primordial gases swirling around, and those were the ones that induced that swirling to actually start taking some sort of form or shape and density. But they also revere the center of the galaxy, indicating that that is a dragon also and is tied to our existence. In fact, that entire swirling, cycling process is like that spiraling up of consciousness that I mentioned. So they recognize that there are many kinds of nature spirits that fit into that sylph class, and the sky ones that Chris mentioned are one of them, but there's also cloud spirits. Now, up at that level, when we're speaking of sylphs, we normally consider them to be an accumulation of the four different types of nature spirits, because we have them of earth, air, water, and fire, all which are visible, by the way. So when we get high enough, especially the cloud spirits, which the Indians revere and call them ancestors and speak to them, there's sort of a collective wisdom of all the elements there. Now, remember, at the cloud spirit level and the sky level, since they're higher, that mission's stronger for them. So they're going to be looking for balance and harmony. So they're trying to restore things to the proper conditioning. Now, Chris, if I understood you correctly, you said there was something happening where the chemtrails were dissipating.
They were like sucked up or something.
That's right, going back to normalness, okay? That is exactly what the higher, which are the air or even higher, sylphs, nature spirits are trying to do, restore harmony. They say that being the air level, or the cloud level, and there's others also up in that sylph class, they can move around the earth and go to where they're needed greater. Because most nature spirits work on some of the smaller, more pointed things like the carrots and the minerals. Up at that level, maybe they have to fix something with the ozone. Maybe there's some weather condition going on with the earth itself that needs to be balanced, because they're always trying to bring harmony to all things and restore them to a proper condition.
Okay, next up we go to Sharon, Federal Way, Washington. You're up with us. Hey, Sharon, go ahead.
Hi, George. I'd like to ask Chris about things appearing and disappearing. I've had this happen many times, and my family thinks that I'm just crazy, you know.
Oh, no, it happens to me all the time, too, Sharon.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
It's gone, and then they show up again.
Yeah,
both of you have leprechauns, because that's an indication you have leprechauns. But I'm going to let Chris take that one. Chris?
Well, again, the nature spirits like hiding objects to get your attention, and it's all about acknowledging that they're there, acknowledging their presence. You know, they want to so much become regular family members with your family. And so what you do is you say out loud or in your head, nature spirits, or it's usually leprechauns, You are welcome to join my family. And what will happen is those objects will stop going missing, and you will have the luck of the nature spirits with you. It's a really big blessing, and it really does work.
What I find interesting is that I'm doing my room. I'm sort of a semi-invalid, you know. I'm doing my room in red and green. And at Christmas time, I bought 2 gift cards for my grandchildren, and I put them in the drawer that I always put the things that I really want to know where they are, and they disappeared. And everybody thought that I was just nuts, you know. No, you didn't put them there. You know, and this went all the way through Christmas. I didn't have them at Christmas. We were going to go buy some more, and about 2 weeks ago, I opened the same drawer that I had torn apart, you know, about 100 times, and there they were. They were just laying there right on the top, and I went,
That's exactly right, Sharon. That's what we're trying to say. Using glamour, they create the impression on our minds. When we think, all our minds are functioning here in this physical level, but we think up at this level of existence we call the mental plane. So they affect our minds up there, since they can work on different levels of existence, and they make you think that it's not there. But what they want you to do, as Christopher was saying, is they want you to say, who took that? Because that's like saying, that's like you telling them you want them in your family. So when you say, who took that, or I know someone took that, to them, you just invited them into your family. So you now have the good luck of leprechauns with you.
And you know, Sharon, sometimes the missing objects, depending on what they are, have a significance. So like Christian was saying earlier, he had an ancient book missing. The nature spirit that would be tied to that book missing would have some kind of interest in that field or in that item. So you can look at those cards missing and try to pick up something about the nature spirits. And also, when other instances happen in the future, it's the same thing. There's new nature spirits that want to join your family. It's really a wonderful thing.
So Christopher is saying in a different way that those cards, whatever they meant to you and the children that were associated with it, they want to help you in that regard.
And you know, gnomes and nature spirits love Christmas and the holidays. And that's a time when families come together and there's lots of joy and happiness. They like to be part of those times. They like to be, you know, what you can do is if you want to even make a really big demonstration, you can set a little placemat out for them at your grand dinner tables or weddings or special anniversaries or birthdays and include them in that way and put a little bit of food on there. They would really appreciate that.
Yeah, Sharon, all nature spirits work. None of them are unemployed, so to speak. And so when they become part of your family, they look to get invited in like the leprechauns, but they will always immediately do something. So when you start noticing them, it's always at a time when something's going on in your life, like the computer's not working or the lawn needs mowing or there's pests outside like bees that have to be dispelled. There's some purpose, and then suddenly they come into your life at that time. If you look at what's been going on, you'll know why the nature people of any class has showed up. They want to do that kind of work for you.
And they can also help you find missing objects that suppose you lost yourself. And I talk about that, I think, in the first book, A Gnome Story, where I had lost a very precious ring that I had. And they were able to, the next day, bring that item and put it out in plain sight where anybody could have taken it, and I couldn't have missed it the day before. So they can do some really incredible things.
So when we were kids, they talked about the fairy godmothers. What were they?
Well, the fairy godmothers are, in fact, leprechaun ladies that make wishes come true. That is a big message of this book from the leprechauns and the djinn, is that also we can be like them, be genies in this world when we help other people. So just as the leprechauns and blue fairies can make magical dreams come true in your life, we can be genie-like, they say, by doing the same things for others. The leprechauns listen to the dreams of children, nature spirits, as well as human children at night, and they listen with their hearts, and they try to figure out a grand plan to bring about happiness into their dreams at night. This message to me also kind of ties into the living of the real world, as some people call it. The world that we live in is very much like a dream, as the leprechauns see it, I believe, and they can bring happiness and dreams coming true, that we can experience on Earth. By opening yourself up to the nature spirit kingdom and being a part of seeing all that is, that it's not just about humans, that there are many different types of being out there in the world. There are guides, there's angels, there's nature spirits that are here to help us if we wish.
Now, you know, George, since we're speaking of wishes, you sort of alluded to something. Leprechauns are drawn to children and granting wishes for children, and also for a lot of women. The reason for that is because when children make a wish, they often don't want something for themselves. They're wishing that their mommy and daddy get together.
Right.
They're wishing
right.
that their a brother doesn't have an affliction or an illness. So they're selfless wishes, so they're more willing to help them, where most people make wishes that are egoistic, so they don't put so much effort into it. But also, leprechauns tend to do their magic around water. This is why you put out the wishing walls, because there is something spiritual in the quality of water. In fact, humans have made a lot of water. So they will use some of those properties to help bring about those wishes. Now, leprechauns and other nature people work a lot of their magic by using the consciousness up on that mental plane I mentioned, because when we think somewhere else up higher. That's exactly how humans are meant to manifest and do miracles too, which is exactly what they say in the book. What nature people are better at doing is working on those thoughts and those thought bubbles that we have and bringing those to fruition. So a lot of wishes are manipulating things going on up in that mental plane, which is actually where heavens are in all religions. And this is why grandparents and great-grandparents are the ones we should reach out to when we're trying to make manifestation of wishes of our own, because they're up there at the gates of heaven, not going in, because they only care about their children, the grandchildren, their health, their wealth, or their education. So we can manifest too, and that's what the nature people are trying to teach us.
Okay, let's go to Tesquale, Santa Barbara, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Tesquale.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
I saw some little people in the Catskills some years ago, I'd say about in the early 80s, a woman took me for a walk in the mountains along a stream, I think, and I got tired and I fell asleep. And I had some experience where someone had appeared for a short time and wanted to take me to their place. I went back and tried to find it. And the road had like three little glens to the left, and I fell asleep in the second one, and after 15 minutes, that's when I had the experience. And but when I went back, I could only find two glens.
What was the experience that you had?
Oh, I cannot exactly remember, but they made contact and they were talking to me, and they were little people, and they wanted to go back. And then when I was awake, in the same area, me and another friend, right on the edge of the Hudson River, saw a little person fall into the water, and then I guess his older brother or a friend ran past us as if we weren't even there, climbed out on a branch that went over the river about 10 feet out, and grabbed them and pulled them out.
Wow.
Okay.
How small were they, by the way?
I'd say about 2.5 to 3 feet tall, but
that's
they were
exactly
dressed.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you what you saw, Pasquale. You saw what's called an elf.
Oh.
An elf is in the regions of the country where the water and the mountains come together, often where the mountains meet, we meet the sea, or where there's forest and the mountains meeting the sea. They need the water mist to create the illusions that hide their kingdom. That's why we normally take people out to see elves where there's a fog in the bottom part of the forest. Because when you look at it almost a 45-degree angle, that's the only time you can actually see through that fog and see that there's buildings and a kingdom in there. But they need that mist to create this illusion of secrecy. Only the gnomes are extremely outgoing and friendly and sort of run up to you. The elves test you, and they're usually they'll hide from tree to tree. And the trees that they like are very long and thin. And they tend to be tall and thin also, and they eat tall, thin things too, like bamboo, celery, things like that. So it's sort of part of their character. And usually when we see elves, we only tend to see their faces leaning out from the trees, and they'll run from tree to tree, and you pick up that movement so you know something's there. But that's sort of a test for you. But obviously, if they're showing you that, they feel that they have some resonance with you. Are you drawn to waters and mountains normally?
Definitely.
Okay. And do you also believe in unicorns?
Oh, I love unicorns,
okay.
But...
Good. So I'm going to tell you why. I asked the question. The elves are the record keepers of the nature kingdom. They record the information. They don't reinvent it every generation like we do. They keep it recorded, and they do it for all the nature spirits. But they also are the caretakers of the unicorns, and the unicorns in the nature kingdom do exist. They're real. And they are the healing modality over there, just like we would have doctors. That's the purpose of that spiral on their head, that unicorn horn. That's actually how they do the healing process. So they're also protecting them. So it's possible that you were in an area where the unicorns were. Now, I think they were trying to show themselves to you, which means you would have been someone that probably experienced them back in the Renaissance era. But it's probably the indication that you right now are interested in healing or wellness. Are you in the healing wellness field?
Well, you know, I was fascinated by the fact that one of these creatures pulled the other out of the water. I mean, that was fascinating.
Yes, right.
I mean, so could they drown?
Gnomes don't care for water too much. Nature spirits, like the elves, the others, will go in the water more. In fact, we have many stories in the book where they actually travel across the water. No, they cannot be harmed by things of the physical earth. So in other words, the physical counterparts can't harm them. The water here cannot harm any nature spirit.
Why the effort then to pull it out?
The etheric part of the water can be overtaking them. So they're experiencing the etheric counterpart of the water over there, which is an abnormal amount of that substance for them. However, because they're of nature, they don't experience the pain and suffering and have the issues with the organs like we do, because they haven't reached our level of development yet. But there is a level of uncomfortableness or unnaturalness that they experience.
Christian, where can people watch Messenger, your television show?
It's going to be on Mind, Body, Spirit TV. They'll have to look for that lineup on their cable television, satellite television channels. They look for that logo on there. It's going to be different areas. There's going to be a couple options for it. It is going to be national. It reaches about 35 to 45 million people.
Good for you.
And it's also in some international locations also. We're bringing a lot of guests like you do, George, and we do add a lot of the spiritual tone to it, because we try to get across to people that this is real, these things that we speak of, and we want people to share their experiences. The only difference is we're trying to be casual about it, and it's sort of an everyday show. Not so formal as a lot of programs.
Good for you. And Christopher, your show, the Christopher Valentine Show, where can you see that?
That's going to be on the same network as well. So it'll be available on Dish Network, on DirecTV, and they're going to be rolling out a lot of cable outlets as well. So we're going to have that on our website, mistoftheoracle.com, probably in a few weeks with the exact channels for everybody to tune in.
Good luck to both of you. Fascinating discussion. Now, when I come back on Coast to Coast AM, it'll be open lines, plus we're going to open up the creeped out line. I'll tell you why.